Today in Mishnah Yomi Land, we are in Chapter 8 of Bava Batra, Mishnayot Zayin Chet, finishing off this chapter all about Yerusha, inheritance. We'll see a bit more of that in Chapter 9 as well. Here's Mishnah 7, a kotev nechasav levonav. He's writing over his property to his children. So the father is still alive, and what he's doing is he's giving a gift right now to his children, but he wants to stay on this property. He wants to keep using this house or this field or whatever the property is. So what should he do? Tzarich sheyichtov. He has to write in the deed, mehayom, from today, ul achar mita, and after I pass away. So the gift, the ownership, has transferred today, but the father retains the right to use this property until he passes away. Divrei Rebbe Yehuda. That's according to Rebbe Yehuda. You need to write this phrase. Rebbe Yose Omer Enutzer. Rebbe Yose says you don't need it. In the Gemara, they explain. He says you have a date on this gift document, on this shtar, and the date and the fact that the father is giving it to the children shows that he wants the gift to be effective right now, because after all, he can't give a gift after he passes away. He wants the gift to be valid now, but to retain use while he's still alive. So he's creating a life estate where he has use of the property during his lifetime, and it will go to whoever he's gifting it to after he passes away. So hakotev nechasav livnei lachar maaso. So somebody who writes such a gift up, ha'av eino yachol limkor, the father can't sell the property, mipnei shehen ketuvin leben, because it's already been written, it already really, the formal ownership belongs to the son that he wrote it to. Ha'bein eino yachol limkor, the son can't sell it, mipnei shehen birshut ha'av, it's in the reshut, in the possession, the usage rights still belong to the father. Macharav, if the father does sell this property, machurin ad sheyamut, it is sold to a third party until the father passes away. And then, of course, it goes to the son. The father can only sell what he has, which is the right to use the property during his lifetime. Machar ben, if the son sold it, ein lelukeach behen klum, the buyer, the third party, has nothing ad sheyamut av, until the father passes away, then he has full ownership. Now, while the father is still alive, av tolish umachil lecho mishiyotze, the father can tolish, is like pluck or pick. He can pick the fruits, he can harvest the field, he can collect rent for the bathhouse, whatever it is that you do with the property, umachil, and give it to whoever he wants. Umashen yach tolish, and whatever he picks and or separates or generates, and it's no longer attached to the physical land, to the karka, hrei hen shel yorshin, belongs to all of his heirs, not just the heir that this property has been designated for in the deed. Now the Mishnah turns to another case where a father has passed away without writing anything down, without changing up any of the Yerusha. Hiniach bonim gedolim ketonim. But he has older sons, mature sons, and younger sons. Eina gedolim miparnasin ala ketanim. The older children can't get parnasa. In this case, we mean clothing and accessories and what they need from the undivided funds of the estate, because that disadvantages the younger children. So older children, you know, young adults, they need more expensive clothing. You know, there's more material, literally, but they also tend to want more expensive clothing. You'll see this with the teenagers. Veloa ketanim nizonin agadolim. And the minor children can't take their food allowance from the estate. That disadvantages the gedolim. The children tend to snack a lot. Again, teenagers, they're eating a lot, eating at random times. You know, ordering takeout, it could cost a lot of money. Elahokin b'shavas. So what they do is they divide the estate equally amongst all the sons, and then they go ahead and buy whatever food and clothing they want. They don't start sending the bill to the undivided estate. Nosu agedolim, if the older children get married using the funds of the bank account of the father, yisur ketonim, use the same bank account to marry off, to throw the wedding for the younger sons. Imamru ketonim, if the younger sons say, hare anu nosim kederech shenesotem etem, they say, we want to get married the same way you got married, meaning with the nice band and the nice smorgasbord and the deluxe catering. So in this case, ain shomim them. We don't listen to them. Now, this is when the father had been alive and the father had thrown, you know, an extra lavish wedding for one of the older sons. And now the younger sons, after the father passes away, want the same level of wedding. Elamosha natan lahem avihem natan. Whatever the father gave during the lifetime, that's what he gave. But after he's passed away, really the son has the right to get paid for a normal average wedding, whatever the situation is in that place, whatever the local custom is, and not more. Now Mishnah Chet brings a similar situation. Hiniach banot. He left only daughters, no sons. Gedolot uktanot. Older daughters and younger daughters. Eina gedolot miparnesot ala katanot. The older ones can't take clothing from the undivided estate. That disadvantages the younger ones who spend less on clothing. V'lo katanot nizanot ala gedolot. And also the younger ones can't get their food allowance from the undivided bank account. That disadvantages the older daughters. Ela cholgin b'shaveh. So go ahead and divide it up. Remember, where there are no sons, the daughters inherit. They inherit deraita, so they will should split equally. Nasu gedolot, if the older daughters got married before the estate was divided, yesu katanot, so the younger daughters should also be able to take funds from the estate and get married themselves. Vim amru katanot, if the younger daughters say, hare anu nosot kederach shenesotim atem, they say, listen, we want to have the same lavish wedding you had when our father was still alive, ein shomin lahen. Again, we don't listen to them just like the boys. The father might have been extra lavish and extra generous during his lifetime, but it's not appropriate to disadvantage the other children, the other heirs, after he passes away. And now the Mishnah adds one difference between the sons and the daughters. Zei chomer bebanot mebebonim. Here's a chomer, a stringency, when there's only daughters compared to where there are sons. Shabanot nizonot alabonim. That daughters get fed, they get their food allowance from the estate, even though this takes away the inheritance property from the sons. Ve'ein nizonot alabanot, but they don't get fed in the presence of other daughters. Meaning if there's sons and daughters, we're actually going to see this in tomorrow's learning, if there's sons and daughters, the daughters have the right to be fed until they're mature from the joint account of the father's estate, even though that makes the account smaller for the sons to inherit once all the daughters grow up. But if there's only daughters, then instead of saying, well, let's feed the younger ones from the account, we say, let's go ahead and split it up first, and then everyone feeds themselves. Though, of course, as we have mentioned, when there are minor orphans, the court would appoint a guardian to make sure that their property is taken care of and not wasted, and really make sure everything's done correctly. Yishar kochachem, tiskul mitzvot.